This morning I want us to study the subject of wisdom. A look at the world around us, aided largely by television and the internet, reveals growing levels of foolishness and stupidity on a daily basis. And while I wish I could say Christians were exempt from this type of behavior, look at churches throughout the world also reveals that that isn't to be the case. But this shouldn't be so. God's people are repeatedly commanded to be wise. The book of Proverbs, inspired by the Holy Spirit, was written for the purpose of admonishing God's people to search for wisdom and then showing them what that looked like. And if you like numbers and statistics like me, the book of Proverbs is approximately 1/40 of the Bible. And so you've got 1/40 of the Bible that is designated specifically to this purpose of finding and obtaining and applying wisdom. And that's excluding other parts of literature, such as would be found in the Psalms and Ecclesiastes and others as well. It's occurred to me that in all my time of preaching, for long that's been now, 6.5 years with this congregation, 4 years before, and on and off leading up to that point, I've never preached a sermon dedicated to the subject of wisdom. I've talked about it from time to time and maybe made a point about it, but I've never examined it explicitly in a study. And one might say that that was unwise to neglect such an important subject for so long. So this morning I want to admonish us all to get wisdom. The title for my lesson comes from Proverbs 4:7, where Solomon writes, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight." And I know I knock the King James Version from time to time, but I'm partial to the King James Version translation of Proverbs 4:7. "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." So in just a moment I'm going to describe what wisdom is. But we're going to, just let me give you the direction we're going to be going this morning, asking and answering three questions. Why should you want wisdom? If you can't see the value in something, you're not going to look for it. So what is it about wisdom that should cause us to desire it and repeatedly be admonished by God to get it? Secondly, how do you get wisdom? That is, what can I do? What can you do so that you can lay hold of wisdom and possess it? You don't just wake up one day wise. That is, unless you're Solomon, who literally woke up one day wiser, given wisdom by God. Sadly, that's not how it works for you and me. We've got to go about finding wisdom the hard way. We'll talk about how we can do that in question two. And then thirdly, where can wisdom be found? It does no good to seek for wisdom if you're seeking in all of the wrong places. You're seeking for it where it does not exist. So there's kind of a roadmap of our study this morning. If you have a marker, you may be wanting to put that in Proverbs chapter 1. That's where I'm going now. Many of our passages will be on screen, but we'll have a couple of lengthier readings. And so having your marker in Proverbs will serve you to be ready to get to those passages more quickly for our study. Let's start with this, not one of the official questions by way of introduction, but what is wisdom? We kind of need to be on the same page and understanding what wisdom is when we talk about it, since we're going to dedicate this time to it. If you were in a room full of Christians and said, define wisdom, such as this, and as often as done in Bible class, you would probably get from many a two-word reply. Wisdom is knowledge applied. That's just our kind of standard definition. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Or if somebody's feeling wordy, like I often am, wisdom is the application of knowledge. Knowledge is things that you know. It's information that you possess. But just because a person may be full of knowledge does not by any means mean that they are wise. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge in the way that you live. Thus, it is knowledge applied. A dictionary definition is the ability to apply knowledge, experience, understanding, or common sense and insight. So this is a little more specific in that it doesn't just encompass the application of knowledge, but takes into consideration experience and understanding. But once again, the key word is on applying or application or using the knowledge that you possess. So we need to know how to use knowledge in our life as we go about our day. So knowledge understands that the light has turned red, but wisdom puts the brake on. Knowledge sees the quickstand and realizes it's there, but wisdom walks around it. Knowledge memorizes the commandments of God, but wisdom obeys them. Knowledge learns about God, but wisdom loves God. One last definition. Wisdom is skill in the art of living life with each component under the dominion of God. Wisdom includes the ability to use the best means at the best time to accomplish the best ends. It's not merely a matter of information or knowledge, but of skill and practical application of the truth to the ordinary facets of life. Now, this is a very comprehensive definition of wisdom, so let me bring out a couple of aspects of this so that we can better understand what wisdom is. Wisdom is living life with each component of life under the dominion or authority of God. Your speech, your thoughts, your actions, your worship, your work, your hobbies, your spending habits, your family, your time. Wisdom is how you do everything and is brought under the dominion and control of God as it is expressed through His Word. Wisdom includes the ability to use the best means at the best time to accomplish the best ends. It's been said that wisdom is not the ability to tell the difference between right and wrong. Wisdom is the ability to tell the difference between right and almost right. Wisdom allows one to determine not just a good course of action, but the best course of action. And the best course of action is not defined by what we like or enjoy the most, but rather what will bring the most and greatest glory to God. So wisdom is the ability to use the best means at the best time for the best ends. And then wisdom is a skillful and practical application of the truth to the ordinary facets of life. It's not just having knowledge, but it's applying the knowledge that we have to the everyday decisions of life. Those, not just the weighty, large decisions, but also the small, ordinary decisions that we all have to make every day. So this is what we're talking about when we talk about wisdom. I believe this is a good definition of what the Bible talks about in wisdom. So, point number one, why should you want wisdom? Because the alternative to being wise or possessing wisdom is being a fool. There are times when you desire something, perhaps not because you desire it alone, but because to not have it is detrimental to your well-being, such as the case with oxygen, such is also the case with wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, the alternative is foolishness. Now, the book of Proverbs contrasts two types of people, the wise man and the fool. Now, most of us probably wear different hats at different times, facing different circumstances, and the goal of a lesson like this is to encourage us and help us so that more often than not, we're wearing the hat of the wise man rather than that of the fool. And there's this old saying that's credited to John Wayne, although I couldn't find anything that validated he actually said it. Many of us have probably heard it said by him. And he's quoted as saying, life is tough. It's tougher if you're stupid. Now, that may sound rather crass, but that's one of the major lessons of the book of Proverbs. Life is harder if you're lacking wisdom. Maybe that's a nicer way to say that other word that I said. Yet the fool brings unnecessary pain and consequences upon himself that could have been avoided if he would have acted wisely. Listen to the character of the fool. And young people, I'm going to be talking to you a lot, especially this morning, because that's not to say just because someone is older that they are wiser, but I know many of the ones who are here, and they've got more experience, and they do have more wisdom. And so young people, I'm going to be talking more specifically to you, but old people, you're not off the hook as well. We're always to be growing in wisdom. And so consider these things as well. Young people, listen to what the Bible says about the fool and what it says about the fruit that the fool is going to eat. Fools despise, we're told, wisdom and instruction. Now, I understand that no one likes to be corrected. But thankfully, desiring to be corrected is not a prerequisite for gaining wisdom. And we're told by God the fool despises wisdom and instruction. That word despises, it doesn't mean that he doesn't like it, or that he dislikes it, or that he finds it distasteful. Listen, every person, wise or not, finds rebuke and correction distasteful. I don't think many people are going to say after a tongue lashing from maybe their spouse or from someone who is older and wiser about something they've done wrong is going to say, I really enjoyed that. Despise isn't talking about how you feel about it. Rather, it's describing what you do with the wisdom that's given to you by someone else. That is, do you scorn it? Do you scoff at it? Do you mock it? Do you belittle it? That's what it means that the fool despises wisdom. He looks down on it and he refuses to accept it because he refuses to entertain the possibility that he could be wrong or she could be wrong. Let's look in Proverbs 1. Read a few verses. Verses 29 through 32. Proverbs 1, 29 through 32. Listen to what wisdom says. Wisdom is often personified in the book of Proverbs. And listen to what wisdom says to the fool. In Proverbs 1, starting in verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, and despise all of my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their ways, and have their fill of their own desires. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. So wisdom is being personified, and wisdom is speaking here. And we see there's this rejection and hatred of knowledge and instruction. The fool will not receive godly reproof. And so God lets them eat the fruit of their own ways. Now, beloved, there are many reasons why our country is in the shape that it's in. And many of us bemoan the state that our country is in. And there are many reasons why that is. But this is one of the contributing factors to that, because we have rejected wisdom and correction from God. Our country, on the whole, has rejected wisdom and correction from God. We have pushed Him out of our schools, and we have pushed Him out of our governments, and we have pushed Him out of our homes. We've become a nation of fools, and God is letting us eat the fruit of our own way. That's what wisdom does when you reject it. It stands back at you and it scoffs because you did not heed its counsel. The simple are killed by their turning away. Listen, the complacency of fools destroys them. Proverbs 3:35, the wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Turn on your TVs and watch the news. 5 minutes is all it takes. I'm not an advocate of the news, especially for long periods of time. Watch the news, 5 minutes. You will see person after person who acted foolishly, and see the consequences of that, and see the disgrace that it brought on them and their name and their family and their life. Young people, stop and probably look at your classmates. If you go to public school, look at your classmates and look at their life, how they often do things that bring dishonor on them and shame and embarrassment and humiliation on them. Think about bad decisions you've made in the past. I can think about that. And I can see how shame and dishonor and disgrace came on me for foolish choices that I made. And what happens, young people, is if you sow seeds of foolishness, you're going to eat the fruit of foolishness. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. It used to be a shameful thing. Once again, part of what's wrong with our country. It used to be a shameful thing to cause sorrow to your parents by your behavior. Nothing really relevant for most people anymore, I don't think, based off of how young people were acting. I've had my share of punishment, both in variety and in quantity, but nothing compared to the look of disappointment or the look of sadness on my mother or my father's face in response to something foolish that I did as a young person. Those are the greatest, most grievous wounds and most painful punishments. Proverbs 14:7, by the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back. The rod is spoken of here by Solomon figuratively, but it may result with a literal physical beating if the fool doesn't stop in their tracks and stop their foolishness. Many fools don't know when to stop talking or don't know when to stop acting the way that they're acting. They don't know when to keep their mouth shut, and it may literally result with some sort of corporeal punishment, whether it be a fist or whether it be a rod. And Solomon's point is this: there are constant consequences that come with foolish living in your life. In your home, there are going to be consequences. In your marriage, there will be consequences. In your job, in your church, consequences of the fool will follow them. The fool brings a host of unwanted unpleasantness upon himself by his words and deeds. Now, young people, listen up. If this describes you, then behave foolishly, act foolishly, speak foolishly. If you want to have your life destroyed by your foolish decisions, if you want disgrace and embarrassment, if you want to disappoint and sadden the people you love the most, if you want to feel the pain of the rod on your back, then do that. Live foolishly, because that is the portion of the fool. But if you would say no to all of those things, you have to say yes to wisdom. If you would say no to all of those things, dishonor and pain and rejection and disappointment, you have to say yes to wisdom. Now, that's pretty big incentive right there as to why a person should desire wisdom. But wisdom will bless you significantly beyond what it will simply allow you to avoid in this life. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. You should seek wisdom and desire wisdom, because she is better than silver and better than gold. And yes, you heard that right. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Now, I don't doubt that every one of us would say Wisdom is more valuable than money, because God says wisdom is more valuable than money, and you can't hear that and then say, no, it's not. But here's the question. Well, rather, what does he mean first by that? He means, when he says wisdom is better than money, he means whatever benefit you have from gold and silver, whatever benefit that will give you, a bigger house, a nicer car, fancier clothes, a new rifle, a new boat, exotic vacation, whatever. The profit for wisdom is better than the profit for gold and the profit for silver. Now, most of us will pay mental assent to that and say, yes, God says it, it must be true. But the question is, am I truly living like I believe that? There's recognizing and acknowledging something that God says as true, but then there's living it out in our life. How many of us can show by our lives that we believe that? We invest so much time and effort in making money, don't we? At least most of us do in our younger days, anyways. And some still chase wealth in their older days. But you spend 16, 18, 20 years getting an education so you can get a good paying job. You pick up every overtime shift that comes your way so you can pad your bank just a little bit extra. And you follow the stock market and watch the news so you can know when to buy and sell and get a good return on the money you've invested. And not criticizing those things innately. Money can do lots of good. You share it with others. Lay up treasures in heaven and use it to help spread the gospel. Money can do good. I'm simply trying to shine the light on what God is saying here. How many of us pursue wisdom with the same vigor we pursue wealth? How many of us cultivate opportunities for wisdom as we do our stock market portfolio? How many of us jump at opportunities to become wiser as eagerly as we jump on an opportunity for some time and a half pay? We need to hear what God's saying. Silver and gold, beloved, belong to the world. Let them have it. Our portion, as children of God, is wisdom. Gold is for the body, and gold is for time, but wisdom is for the soul and for eternity. And it is better, thus you should desire it. It's better because she'll bring you happiness and blessing. Continuing on in Proverbs 3, 16 through 18, long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. In her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's like a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. And those who hold her fast are called blessed. Sitting down for lunch a couple of weeks ago, I was preparing for this lesson. I told Whitney and the kids that I'm preaching on wisdom. Got anything you want to share? Any wise advice? And Annabelle chimed in and said, you got to talk about Solomon. You're right. You do have to talk about Solomon if you want to talk about wisdom. And we're spending much of our time in this book given to us by Solomon. But not just that, but also the life that Solomon lived. You remember why Solomon was so wise? He hadn't been king for long when the Lord appeared to him. He said, ask him anything. I'll give it to you. Solomon, very humbly, realizes the great nation that's before him. And he says, you've made me king of this great people, Israel. Yet I'm like a little child. I need wisdom. And that's what he asked God for. And God says, because you didn't ask for wealth, because you didn't ask for long life, because you didn't ask for the lives of your enemies, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you all of these other things that you didn't ask for as well. These things Solomon speaks of in verses 16 through 18. Long life, riches and honor, ways of pleasantness, paths of peace. These are the companions of wisdom. And if you want these other things, understand these are the companions that wisdom keeps. If you lay hold of wisdom like Solomon, oftentimes you'll get more than you bargained for. You'll get all of the other things that everybody wants, and they're seeking in of themselves because they're seeking them as an end to the means rather than seeking them as a source, that is, the source being wisdom. But do understand this as well. Even though you may lay hold of wisdom, none of these other things are guaranteed. None of these other things are promised. Some who have wisdom will be poor. Some who have wisdom will die young. Some who have wisdom will live unpleasant lives. Some who have wisdom will not know peace. And that's because this is a book of Proverbs, not promises. This is just kind of the general rule. That's what a proverb is, just a generality that you can make. It can't apply every single time because we look at these and we know that that isn't always the case. But the general rule is if you apply the principles of wisdom set forth by this book in your life, then what you'll find is very often the things that most people are seeking you'll have as a byproduct of having wisdom. These are the companions wisdom keeps. It will bring happiness and a host of other blessings into your lives. Thus you should desire it and seek it because these are the companions wisdom will have. You know, if I were to stop right here, then you may have realized this. I'd be offering you nothing more than a prosperity preacher would offer you. Wisdom allows you to avoid unpleasant circumstances. Wisdom will make you happy, healthy, wealthy, wise, long life. Hear me, beloved. Wisdom is worthless if it only enriches the 70 or 80 years that you have on this earth. It's worthless if that's all it does. Wisdom will bless your life, but more importantly, it will lead you to being blessed in life to come. Wisdom will lead you to salvation. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and hold where you're at in Proverbs. We'll be back there in just a moment. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul speaks about wisdom. And he talks about how the wisdom of God leads to salvation. You don't just want to be wise, to live a long life, to be happy, healthy, to avoid trouble and pain and hardship. If that's the best wisdom can do, it offers you no true value. Wisdom that comes from God leads to salvation. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 10. Yet the mature, among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of this rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which was God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through His Spirit. The greatest wisdom a person can find is not in the wisdom of this age. It's the wisdom revealed by God. And Paul says it's been decreed from the ages for our glory. And Paul says no eye has ever seen it, no ear has ever heard of it. How wonderful are the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. About this glory, that's what Paul says. And this is a glory given to those who desire true wisdom and find it through salvation from God. Question one, why should you desire wisdom? What's your incentive in listening to the rest of this lesson and then going and trying to do these things? Because to not have it is to be a fool. To desire is more valuable than silver and gold. To desire it because it will bring happiness and blessings in your life. And desire it because it will lead you to God and ultimately to salvation. Secondly, how do you get wisdom? Observe first that we have to ask the question, how does one get wisdom? What does that imply, that we get wisdom? Well, it implies that wisdom is not something that one is born with. Rather, you have to seek out and you have to gain. So we must start here before we can even begin to answer the question. So I need to speak to those who are young particularly. I said I'm going to be talking to you a little bit more this particular lesson, but for everyone. But to those who are young, I need your attention listening to these things, listening to the Word of God. Do you love the Lord? Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust what God has said in His Word? Nod at me if you do. Trust the Lord, you love the Lord, and you trust what God has said in your Word, His Word. You need to hear what God has to say. I'm going to show you a verse that's very important in understanding yourself and the way that you are made and the position that you find yourself in as a young person. And I tell you this for the same reason that God tells you this, because I love you and I want what's best for you, just as God loves you and wants what's best for you. Here's the verse. Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Let's focus first on the first part of this verse. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. When a child comes into this world, they come into this world full of foolishness, completely lacking in wisdom. That's not intended as an insult. That's simply the reality. That's the reality of things that all of us have experienced. Every one of us who was born with foolishness within our heart. And it's the consequences of living in this world that has been ruined by sin. God has given you an advantage by bringing this to your attention. So listen to what God is saying. One of the common characteristics once a young person hits the ages, it seems just generally of 11, 12, 13, and it just seems to kind of get worse before it gets better. There's this trait that they seem to take on. It almost seems across the board that mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. I know what's best. Now don't chuckle and don't laugh because it's not funny. To your honor, I don't think anyone did. Many young people have made foolish choices and they have ruined their lives because they thought that they knew better than everyone else. But remember, one of the characteristics of the fool is that they despise wisdom. One of the characteristics of wisdom is that they listen to those who are wise. The fool ignores wisdom, he ignores instruction, doesn't listen to those who are older and wiser. And God says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. That's not an insult, it's simply a reality. And thankfully God provides a divine solution to the problem. The rod of discipline drives it far away, far from him. Young people, you can look at your peers And you can probably tell who's disciplined and who is not. The Bible says you could tell who is loved by their parents and who is not. The reason the world is full of old fools is because young fools did not have the rod of discipline applied to them to drive the foolishness far away. Now, this is what we deal with in the world. No one comes into the world wise. We learn wisdom from the discipline of our parents, or we learn it the hard way to the ruin of our own lives oftentimes. Children, listen to your mother and father. Listen to your mother and father. Listen to your wiser and older grandparents. They're older. They're wiser. I know most of them. They love you. They're guided by God. They're guided by His Word. They can help you avoid many of the pitfalls and challenges and consequences of foolish living. This is God's will for you. Understand. This is God's will for you. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction. Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 4:1, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. Children, listen to your parents. It may seem like you know more than them, but the Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Listen to mom and dad. Listen to their wisdom and experience. Parents, just a word to you based off of this. Cute and adorable though your children are, they're not coming into this world wise, nor are you, if you allow them to persist in that state without applying the divine prescription to rid a young person of foolishness. Experts say disciplining a child is going to hurt their fragile self-esteem. Parents, sadly, are listening, and because of that, we live amongst a generation of young people who cannot stand the least a bit of correction, admonishment, instruction. They just can't. They just break. That's what happens to many young people brought up because they're not given this divine prescription. The foolishness never leaves. They don't know how to handle it. Now, God's wisdom says when applied in love, discipline is vital if children are to be rid of foolishness so that they may grow into wise adults. Human wisdom tells us that discipline, particularly corporal punishment, is going to have negative impacts on them mentally, physically, and emotionally. Now, you've got to decide who's your faith in. The experts, human wisdom, or God? Who's your faith in? Children are born foolish, and it falls to every parent to use love, discipline, and instruction to drive foolishness away and replace it with wisdom. So building now on the basis that we're all born foolish and we must get wisdom, how do we do so? It starts with this, the fear of the Lord. You have to start at the beginning. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9:10, is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is inside. We begin to find wisdom when we begin to fear the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It can mean a couple of things. To fear God can mean to tremble before His greatness. Do you remember the children of Israel when they were standing before Mount Sinai and the Lord was coming down on the mountain to give them the law and to enter into covenant with them? The lightning was flashing and thunder was booming and the clouds of the sky had become very dark over the mountain and the fire came down. You remember? It said the children of Israel were terrified at the presence of God. That's what it can mean to fear the Lord. But to fear God is to also hold Him in awe and respect and love and adoration for His goodness and kindness. And so which fear is the beginning of wisdom? Both of them, I think. Because God is a God of love, many people in the church today have lost sight of the fact that He is holy, 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 as set forth by the seraphim. Wisdom begins with the realization that I'm a sinner, and one day I'm going to have to stand before this holy God in judgment. And the realization of that sends me in search of an answer that will keep me from being consumed by His holiness and His justice on that last great day. A terrifying fear that I can't outrun my sin and that I can't get away from it and that I can't avoid it. And ultimately, I'm going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account for it. Sends many a person in search of wisdom to how they can avoid the negative consequences of their sin. But others are driven in the search for wisdom because of God's love and mercy and grace. And they fall down and say, I want to be more like Him. And this is where wisdom is ultimately going to lead you. One way or another, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Secondly, wisdom is found by prizing her. Prizing her. Proverbs 4:8, prize her, that is wisdom. Prize her highly. She'll exalt you. She'll honor you if you embrace her. To prize something is to hold it dear. To embrace wisdom is to clasp it or to hold it or to carry it very close to yourself. And kind of carries with it ideas of affection and care. And what Solomon is saying, wisdom is not going to bestow her gifts on just anyone who kind of ho-hum, well, maybe I'll find it, but rather it's someone who values her, who exalts her, who esteems her, that will find it. And second to that, you must also pursue her. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Back in Proverbs, let's read the first few verses of Proverbs 2. Listen to what Solomon says. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for her with insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and will find the knowledge of God. So, prizing and pursuing go hand in hand. You pursue that which you prize, and you prize that which you pursue. And if you want a picture of what prize and pursuit is, look at a young man whose heart has been captured by a young woman. He wants to be with her all the time. And if he can't be with her, he'll keep her up on the phone 2 or 3 o'clock at night, knowing he's got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go to work. There's nothing he won't do to impress her. He'll drive her hours to get to her house. He'll sleep in his truck so they can spend the weekend together. He'll gladly give the whole week's paycheck for shopping spree at the mall for her. He'll go thousands of dollars into debt to buy the biggest ring, and he'll come up with the most elaborate and exquisite proposal plan to ask her to marry him. This is what it is to prize or pursue something. So what does that look like in the context of wisdom? What's set before us here? It's making your ear attentive to wisdom. It's when you're presented with an opportunity to gain wisdom, you're attentive. You're willing to forego other things that may be important. It's inclining your heart to understanding. Most of us are content to binge Netflix, or inclining our heart to scrolling through Facebook mindlessly for 3 hours. But those who pursue wisdom will incline their heart to gain understanding. It's calling out for insight rather than waiting to bump into it. It's pursuing it intentionally. It's seeking wisdom like silver and searching for her like hidden treasure. It's persistent and dogged and relentless and excited in its search. And by pursuing and prizing wisdom, we will find her, the proverb writer says this. And then finally, we find wisdom through prayer. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it shall be given to him. Sadly, prior to my preparation for this lesson, I can't remember just praying for wisdom just a whole lot, which is a shame, because I need it. I need it a lot. We should make it practice to ask God for wisdom, because we need wisdom every day. We need wisdom to know how to deal with our spouses in a godly manner, or to deal with raising our children in a godly way, or to resolving challenges with people that aren't easy to get along with at work in a godly manner. We need wisdom in knowing how to resist temptation. We need wisdom to know how to treat our enemy. We need wisdom to know how to love our brethren. It's an indispensable tool that will allow us to handle the circumstances of life in a graceful and godly way. And I love the simplicity of James's words. If you don't have it, if you don't have what you need, whether it's to deal with the normal events of life, or whether you're facing a crossroads where there's major ramifications based off of the decisions you choose, ask God. He'll give it to you. He won't stint. He gives generously. He's not partial. He gives to his children if they ask, and he gives without reproach. That means he doesn't mock you. He doesn't deride you because you waited so long to ask. He doesn't turn away coldly because you neglected him for so long. He patiently waits, ready to dispense what his children ask for. Ask for wisdom. Pursue. Pursue, prize, and pray. That's how you get wisdom. Last point. We can move through this quickly. Where is wisdom found? First off, wisdom is found in God's Word. Didn't see that coming, did you? Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Listen, we can't all be smart, but we can all be wise. The reality is God has placed certain limitations on different ones, giving us gifts in different areas. Some are gifted mentally when it comes to areas of intellect and intelligence and learning. Not everyone can be smart, and that's okay, because God designs the gifts and he places each person in the body where he wants him to be. Not everyone can be smart, but everyone can be wise. You just have to prize it and pursue it and search for it where it can be found. And it's found in this book. It's found in God's Word. So spend time here reading. Read through the book of Proverbs, where wisdom is exalted and wisdom is described, and gain wisdom. Remember, It's not just possessing the information. It's taking the information and then applying it to how you live your life. One of the most valuable methods of gaining wisdom from God's Word is through examples we see in the Bible. There's a story told about a simple young man who was seeking after wisdom. And it was rumored that on top of the mountain behind his village, there lived this wise old sage that people often went to for advice. So one day, in pursuit of wisdom, he climbed to the top of the mountain, and sure enough, there was the old sage sitting there in front of his hut, drinking tea. And he goes to the old sage and he says, "Sir, how did you become so wise?" And the old man sips his tea and finally answers, "By learning to make the right decisions." And then he says, "Well, how did you learn to make the right decisions?" And then he said, "By making the wrong ones." That's oftentimes how wisdom comes, isn't it? Making the wrong decisions, looking at that saying, "Oh, that wasn't the right choice," and then making the right one in turn. Wisdom can be gained through what we call school of hard knocks, making a bad choice and then having to deal with the consequences, suffer through the consequences. Or, here's some good news, you can look into God's Word and you can see example after example after example of both good and bad choices and the consequences that people make. Paul writes in Romans 15:4, "Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction." You know, Bible stories aren't just for our entertainment, and they aren't just to teach our children to keep them quiet during the Bible class hour. This provides us a very broad foundation for understanding the consequences of life that come through poor and bad and wise decisions. You know, Paul uses this method of instruction to encourage the Corinthians, where he uses the children of Israel as a negative example. And he says, "Don't complain like they complained, because they were destroyed for their complaining." Meaning, if you complain, God may just destroy you or send a plague amongst you. And then he says, "Don't commit sexual immorality like they did. You see the consequences of their actions. It displeased God and brought down his judgment on them. You don't do that, or it could happen to you." You know, it is the epitome of pride and foolishness to look at a bad example and think, "I can do the same thing this person in Scripture did and have a different result." No, you can't. You may outrun the consequences momentarily, but they're going to catch up to you. Wisdom can be gained through positive, good examples and negative, bad examples. And you can imitate the good and be blessed, or you can imitate the bad and be punished. And wisdom avoids those things, and it does so through a knowledge of God's Word. Secondly, wisdom comes from wise, godly Christians. We need humility to gain wisdom. It takes a great degree of humility to accept advice from others. Advice is most needed when either we don't know what to do or we've made a bad decision. And sadly, too many people were too filled with pride, refused to humble themselves and say, "I need counsel. Who do you think you are to tell me what I should be doing or how to live my life? I can figure this out on my own. I don't need anyone's help." Listen, that's pride, arrogance, and many walk down that path to their own detriment. Here, one preacher went so far as to say this. Listen to this. And you blanch at it at first, but man, it's wise. Listen to this statement. He said, "Get a friend to tell you your faults, or better still, welcome an enemy who will watch you keenly and string you savagely." What a blessing such an irritating critic will be to a wise man. What an intolerable nuisance to a fool. Now, how many of us would want an enemy, someone who hates us and doesn't like us, scrutinizing our every decision and telling us every dumb thing we did? Well, it may not be pleasant, but it would provide a learning opportunity. And listen, God's Word concurs with that, the idea of correction. By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is what? Wisdom. Proverbs 13:20, "Whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge." And the Bible's pretty clear right here. "He who hates reproof is stupid." And yes, that's in the Bible. ESV. Proverbs 12:1. "He whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." Children, listen to your godly grandparents and parents. Grandparents and parents, listen to your godly peers, your wise peers. You know, we have an accumulated vast storehouse of knowledge at this congregation of 60 or 70 people. People that have seen all kinds of circumstances in life. Parents who've raised godly children, and parents of children who've taken care of aging parents, and Christians who battled and overcame illnesses, and Christians who suffered with depression, and Christians who fallen away and then returned to the Lord, and Christians who've never left. So much wisdom is here. Don't be too proud, too afraid to go to someone who is older and wiser and say, I'm dealing with some struggles, and I could use some wisdom. And if such a person comes to you, have the humility and the grace and the love to help that person. to open up to them. And don't keep your mistakes back. There ought to be some benefit for it, right? Share that wisdom with one who comes to you and asks with humility, grace, and love. God has given us one another not to live alone, but to help one another. Wisdom is found in light of eternity. Teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Think about your actions. You know, we live so oftentimes in the moment. We don't think about how our life is going to be impacted by the things we're doing right now. Look at life in view of eternity. And think about each decision's impact on eternity. That'll help you make wise choices. When we number our days, we gain a heart of wisdom. Finally, wisdom is found in Jesus. In Matthew 12:42, Jesus reprimands the people. Simply went about their day-to-day activities as he stood in their midst and preached and taught, just ignoring him, thinking he was just another man. He rebuked them. Do you remember the Queen of Sheba? Jesus says the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up in judgment against the people of Capernaum, the city where he preached and teached and did many miracles, and yet largely they scorned him on the whole. He said the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up in judgment and condemn the people of Capernaum. Do you remember why? He said she heard of Solomon's wisdom, and she came from the ends of the world to see it in person, to hear it in person, to ask Solomon questions and learn. There was one much wiser than Solomon among them. And if she would travel so far to hear the wisdom of Solomon, what fate awaits those who hear the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Jesus Christ, and reject it? You may not believe that Jesus was just another man, but do you live each day as if these words that Jesus spoke are real and impacting and life-changing? If you live like they're irrelevant, you may believe whatever you want, but that doesn't matter. If you persist in living in that way, you will be condemned alongside those who heard Jesus speak and lived as if his words were just that of another ordinary person. In Colossians 2:3, Paul says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and there is no true wisdom and no true knowledge apart from Jesus. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get, get insight. This morning, are you prizing and pursuing wisdom? We've all played the fool in the past, many times over. God is gracious, kind, and forgiving. In the midst of our foolish decisions, he does not destroy us, but he teaches and instructs us if we will but hear it. And the wisest choice a person can make, that you can make right now, is to follow Jesus Christ. And if you are not, you need to make that decision. You do not want to enter into eternity not ready to meet the Lord. Are you a Christian? Are you walking in his commandments, loving the Lord, obeying his ways? Or are you foolishly going your own way? No one has to be a fool, but for some of us that may require wiser choices. But there's no bigger fool than the one who departs this life without knowing Christ. If you don't know Christ this morning, you can come in faith, believing in Jesus as the Son of God. You can turn from your sins and repent from those. And you can confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And you can submit yourself to the waters of baptism where your sins will be washed away. You can walk away wise in the Lord, set out on the path of wisdom, and then seeking that all the days of your life. If we can help you in any way, would you come forward down front as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just